Hi all, welcome to Chatham Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I am your host, Carl Pearce, and today with us we have Richard Ellen.
Hello.
And that's it, just us today. Dynamic duo again, Richard.
Well, yeah, we could be. Yeah. Do you remember somebody called, what was he called? James. Do you remember James?
James.
So I used to bring him into I drive, and I used to bring him into work and take him home from work. And he said, bearing in mind that I'm the driver, he said that he's Batman and I'm Robin. And it's like, what? Nah,
because Robin's drive.
No.
And Batman's drive. So,
there we go. So that's
all right. Well, I'll be a Nightwing or something.
That was okay. What's this I'm hearing? Is She-Hulk's coming out?
Yes, it was announced. Well, not announced, but the trailer came out today as we're recording. So She-Hulk's a series, Marvel series, based on the comics. And it's basically the Hulk's cousin gets a blood transfusion from the Hulk to save her life for whatever reason. And she ends up getting some of his powers. But she's a lawyer as well.
Was this from the 80s as well, like the original Hulk series?
Yeah, I don't know when it started, it's quite old.
It rings a bell with me, but was it actually on the telly?
Oh, on the telly? I don't think so. I don't think there's been a She-Hulk.
Right.
There's been cartoons with She-Hulk in it.
Maybe it could be that.
I don't think she was in the series. I don't think so. But yeah, so it's been touted as a cross between, it's like a superhero version of Ally McBeal. There you go. that was a good show. I liked Ally McBeal. It was good. Anyway, you never seen it. It was good.
Nope.
Anyway, listeners, this week's episode, we're talking about what we've been watching. And we're going to start off with Mr. Richard Ellen. Please tell the viewers and listeners, because there's no viewers, we're all listening, what you've been watching, please.
I'm going to start off with a film that's on Amazon Prime, but I don't know if maybe everybody's like me. When you go on Amazon Prime, apart from the fact that it's so slow to navigate on our telly, it's not our telly, it must be the interface between Amazon Prime and our telly.
Yeah.
The way it works with LG, don't know. But we'll always go to free to me. So because there's so much stuff on there you got to pay for. So we go into the free to me. But the thing is, you've got free with adverts as well, which is maybe a new thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's relatively new, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was after a film ages ago. It was on Amazon Prime, but then it was taken off, and they don't really give you any notice on Prime. And it's just called The Man in the Hat. I'll come back onto it in a minute, but it got taken off, and then I noticed I was desperate to watch it. I don't know why. I'll tell you what. This is what got me on it. The Man in the Hat journeys through France in a Fiat 500. That's the little old Fiat that's in cars, Luigi. The dead old, you know, the one that's absolutely ancient, little tiny car. So he's journeys through France in a Fiat 500, accompanied by a framed photograph of an unknown woman. He is pursued by five angry men in a Citroen Dayane. That's like a 2CV. Why are they chasing him? And how can he shake them off? And that was it. And that just intrigued me. And we watched the first 2 minutes, and it seemed to be a really, it was just the scenery, the France. It's just lovely. So anyway, it came off, and it was like, I want to watch this film. And it came on the free with ads. Now the ads, I think we got one advert, and it was like 30 seconds long. So, you know, it's not like every 15 minutes if it was on Channel 4. And yeah, so I was made up when it came back on, and it's very difficult to actually explain what this film's like. It's got reasonably high rating on IMDb. It's 6.3. It stars Kieran Hines as the man. It's got the chap who plays, in Game of Thrones, Stephen Delane. Who did he play?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
It'll come. You know what? If I just click on him, it'll come. This is Alan Rickman all over again.
Oh, God, don't do that again.
Stannis Baratheon. Is it Stannis?
Oh, yeah. Stannis Baratheon. Yeah.
So we played him. And he's just down as, I think it's the wet man or something like that. The cast is the man, the first bald man, the second bald man. It goes all the way up to the fifth bald man, the woman, the storyteller. So it's got that strange, the damp man. Stephen Delane plays the damp man. So it's got that strange sort of casting. But it was like we were watching, when we used to watch Eurovision, or maybe even just one time we watched Eurovision, for each country it would have a sort of quick, short sketch of what's nice about the country, or maybe it was the hosting country and it sort of like had a little sketch of what was happening in, you know, the winemaking valleys, and then it went over somewhere else and it had, maybe they did that in the Olympics or something like that. And it was just a really long film about, in that style. I mean, when I say really long, it's an hour and 35 minutes. Nothing actually happened in it, but it's just lovely scenery that there is almost zero dialect in it. It's very, very strange, but it's a likeable film. It'll be a Marmite film, I'll tell you that. Now, some people will watch it and think, what the bloody hell was that about? You know, some people might call it an arty film. But it just felt nice and refreshing. No blood, no guts, no swearing. It was intriguing. It was lovely scenery. We find out in the end what the men, well, who the men are, these angry men in the Citrondan who are chasing him. But we don't really, but we sort of find something out about them. There's a little bit of romance in there. The damp man, the Stephen Delane character, his sort of story branches off a little bit. It's a very strange film. Would I recommend it? I don't know. I'd have to recommend it to people who aren't going to judge me.
Okay.
I know that sounds really weird, because some people might look and think, what did you see in that film? And I don't know what it is that I liked about it. It was really nice. I've talked about films that are sort of like gentle and they've got a nice feel to them, and it was like that. And I think I'll come back to watching it again. It's the type of thing that makes you want to go out and just drive through gorgeous countryside. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. So yeah, man in the hat, the man in the hat, simple as that. And he eats lovely food. It's a little bit like some of the cookery programs, you know, the hairy bikers when they go off out on their bikes and they just sample cuisine and they go to Italy and the old nonnas, they don't call them nanas, do they? The nonnas.
Like nonnas? What's a nonna? Hang on, I'm confused. What's a nonna?
It's what's an octogenarian plus 10? A nonagenarian?
Okay, I see. Okay.
So it's the nonnas who've had decades and decades and generations of cooking passed down, and their food is amazing, but they're just, it's normal. And it's just like that. Very strange film. It's got some intriguing music in it as well, because music happens in the film, but the people performing the music are there. So they are, they're sort of being filmed as well as part of the film. Sometimes it's directly there and then. And another time it's sort of like in his imagination and he's hearing music. It's really strange. I don't know who'd like it out of the people that I know who like films. Yeah. I think Lee might, because Lee likes his unusual films, but then he might go, nah, Rich, didn't get it.
I think it sounds up his street, right up his street, to be honest. It sounds like it's great scenery, not too much conflict, maybe, you know, just, as you say, a little bit of dialogue and things. It's just a nice, gentle film, bit of a travelogue sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. I think people have equated it to Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan did something called The Trip.
Yeah.
The Trip. And they've done two seasons. One they went around, I think they went around the UK, and another one they went to Europe.
So I think they've done France and Italy. I think there was a film of Italy where he's on Italy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds very similar to that.
Yeah. So people have equated it to that. But like I say, it really felt like the Eurovision small films, the dead little short films that you get before the next performance. And we've just had Eurovision. We didn't watch it, but I don't know if they had it on in that one. So where was it this year? Italy. I think it was Italy.
Yes. Yeah, it was Italy.
So I remember one year we watched it and it would have had a little bit about Rome, a little bit about the nonnas, a little bit about the winemaking. And that's what the whole of this film felt like. And it was just nice. It's a strange way to explain a film as just really, really nice and unoffending, but not a lot happened.
Yeah, hard to explain, but I think you've done a good job there. I don't know. Maybe if we get a spare couple of minutes, a spare hour or so, I might stick that on. It sounds like one to have on the background.
Yeah, and you could just do that. There we go. Despite being almost in every scene, Kieran Sinise has only two lines of dialogue in the entire film. Two lines. And he's in pretty much all the scenes.
Yeah, he's in most of it.
and people are just nice in it as well. And they're not after. They're not. They'll do things without wanting reward back. And there's a couple. There's two. They look like officials. They're dressed up and they'll stop the traffic. And they're just throughout the film. All they're doing is they're measuring things. So it's just like they'll be measuring the width of the road and then he'll go past and then they'll be measuring around a tree. It's just bizarre, really strange.
Do you find out why they're doing that? Or
no,
not?
No, but there's a bit of a romance between the two of them.
It's something to do, isn't it?
It's strange.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So sort of recommended.
Yeah. What about yourself? Any films?
As I said to you before we started recording, I feel like I'm going to struggle tonight. I don't feel like I've watched loads, but then I was thinking, well, I've got one really big film I've watched and then a few little bits. So I'll start with the film, which is the newest Marvel film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So have you ever seen this yet, have you?
No, what's it on? Cinema or...?
It's on the cinema. It'll eventually be on Disney Plus. And so it's the next film in the Disney, the Marvel MCU franchise, and it tells the story of Doctor Strange. So it's Doctor Strange 2 basically.
Yeah.
And he's having dreams about a different Doctor Strange who is saving this girl from this some sort of demon or whatever, and this in his dream he dies. It turns out that your dreams that you have are your alternate self from a different universe, so from the multiverse basically, and this girl then turns up in his universe, in our MCU universe, and needs his help. So I won't say too much about it, the story and spoilers and things like that. There's some lovely cameos in it, a lot of fan service in this film. It's not what I expected, because I think what a lot of people were expecting with this film was that it would be, right, here's a million versions of Doctor Strange, and there's a million versions of Spider-Man, and there's a million versions of Iron Man and Captain America. And you thought you'd see all of these different versions. You do see some, but you don't see as many as people thought. So a little bit like when you saw we had Spider-Man, No Way Home, and we had the original Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man turning up. I think people were expecting this, but on a bigger scale in this film. That's not really what it does. Saying that, though, it is a fantastic film. It's directed by Sam Raimi, who did... Was it Sam Raimi? I keep saying his name wrong. Raimi or Raimi?
Raimi, I'd go Raimi, with.
Let's go with Raimi. Okay, so obviously he's famous for directing the first three Spider-Man films, but he also directed Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and so on.
He must be like about 120, because the Evil Dead films were... 1980s?
81, 82 maybe, I don't know.
He must have started young.
Yeah, let's find out. Right. Let's have a little look. IMDb says he was born October 1959. So how old does that make him? It makes him...
Well, he was
70 odd?
And he was in his 20s when he was doing Evil Dead.
Must have been, yeah. Evil Dead was 1981.
Yeah.
So... obviously he's a famed horror director, so he's done Evil Dead, he did Drag Me to Hell, he's probably done loads of other horror things, but he's a famed horror director, and he was a bit of a strange choice when he was it was picked for this film. There was another director connected to it, and then they parted ways for whatever reason, and he took over. And there's loads of rumours about reshoots, so people get worried when reshoots come up. But in actual fact, when you're watching it, there's a lot of horror elements to it. So without giving any details away, the main antagonist, okay, that character, there's a lot of times where that character is portrayed as being like a sort of, like, you know, Jason Voorhees or Mike Myers, you know, like this unstoppable force chasing people. And, you know, it's got a few jump scares. It's very gruesome. There's a couple of characters who die in very, very gruesome ways. Again, I won't say too much. So it's got these horror elements. There's an Evil Dead-esque Doctor Strange. You've seen him in the trailer. So it's an Evil Dead sort of, you know, it's like a zombified Doctor Strange in it as well. And it's, you know what, I can't recommend it enough. It's brilliant. It was, it wasn't what I was expecting. And I enjoyed when I watched it. But thinking back, I'm thinking, I can't wait to see it again. I really, really want to go and see it again. As I say, there's some brilliant cameos in it. A lot of fan service. There's one particular moment, and again, I won't mention it, but for those who grew up in the 1990s Marvel cartoons, there's a little bit of a cameo with a little bit of music from one of those cartoons, and it's instantly recognisable, and it's like, oh, brilliant. But yeah, really good. So, what's his name? Benedict Cumberbatch is in it. He's, you know, plays Doctor Strange. I've never really liked his accent as Doctor Strange. I don't know what it is. It's like what?
It's a little bit like House, Hugh Laurie, when he was doing House, I thought.
I mean, Americans love him, so why not? But yeah, it doesn't always sit well with me. Elizabeth Olsen is in it as Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch. I must say, she's brilliant in it. Benedict Wong's in it. He plays Wong, his sort of sidekick, if you like. And, you know, just, as I say, Rachel McAdams is in it. She plays the love interest. She was in the first one. There's a scene where she's getting married and Doctor Strange is at the wedding, which links in very much with Doctor Strange's motivations as well, without going into too much detail. But yeah, you know what? It's a fantastic film. It's a great Marvel film. I was looking at IMDb before and it's got 7.4. I might rate it higher than that. I'd be closer to 8 myself. I'd say it's not as good as Spider-Man No Way Home. I think that's exceptional. And, you know, things like Endgame, I loved all them. But it's a really solid, good film. If you like your Marvel films, it's really good. Are you intending to see this anytime soon, or are you going to wait till it comes out?
No, I'll just wait till it comes out. Yeah. There's too many things. I mean, at the moment, we're just doing so many different series rather than films. When it comes out, it comes out. There's so many things we've got to catch up. Of course, if you're behind, if you're always waiting for stuff to come out on streaming services or Blu-ray, you're just 6 months, 8 months behind everybody else, aren't you, really? So it's, you know, I'm waiting to see. There's a couple of things on Disney. Death on the Nile. Really, been waiting to see that for ages, but Maddie wants to watch it. My daughter, our listeners. She wants
our listeners know your daughter, Richard. She listens. Oh, hi, Maddie.
But she's got GCSEs literally as we are speaking. And yeah, so. But also we've got, what is it, Dumbledore. Fantastic Beasts 3.
Crimes of Grindel, whatever it was. Is it? Oh, no, it's the other one. What's the new one called?
I can't remember.
Is it The Crimes of Dumbledore? No, it's not that, is it? Secrets of Dumbledore? I don't know. You know what?
Could be Secrets. I think it could be Secrets. But there's that many things that when it comes up, it's just like, oh, yeah, that'll be more on that list to watch. So yeah, we'll definitely watch it at some point. In fact, have we done the last one? We did the Spider-Man one. And there's all the series that we need to catch up with as well on I think we need to finish Hawkeye, or one of the three things that's on Disney Plus we need to finish. Hawkeye, did WandaVision, what was the other one? The Winter Soldier, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I think we still need to finish that as well.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they'll probably bring out more things. And then there's all those little things that people haven't talked about, like, is it What If?
Yeah. So,
which I know you don't need to watch, but it's an interesting concept. What if this didn't happen, or this person didn't, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well,
in terms of the Marvel series, they are smashing out the park. Every single series has been brilliant. I think for me personally, WandaVision and Loki are outstanding.
As Loki as well.
Yeah, Loki was brilliant. Now, again, without giving too much away, if you've watched WandaVision and Loki, it does help if you're watching Doctor Strange. It does sort of feed into it. And What If as well. Though it's not, I don't think it's directly linked. It gives you a sort of primer of some of the things you might see in Doctor Strange. But yeah, well, leading on to that, there's also Moon Knight. So we've finished off Moon Knight as well.
That's another one she wants to watch.
Yeah, so Eternal, yeah, that's another movie, isn't it? Yeah. But the Moon Knight, if you don't mind watching, talk about Moon Knight. So it's the story of, now I can't remember his name, but it's a museum worker. So he works in the shop in London Museum. British guy played by Oscar Isaacs. And he sleepwalks overnight, so he ties himself to the bed. Now, what's weird is that, and it's never mentioned in the show, but under his bed is a load of sand. So it's like he's got a ring of sand around him, and it's a bit strange, but no one mentions it. But anyway, so without giving too much away, it turns out he's got a split personality. So you've got, I think it's Stephen, who's the British museum guy, and then, I can't remember the other fella's name, but then you've got this other guy who's this sort of international sort of mercenary, and he's got this power of the Moon Knight, which is bestowed on him by a Egyptian god. And it's about him trying to work out what's going on, and it flirts between the two of them, and then eventually they talk to each other. And do you know what, it was really good. It was a different way to do a superhero program. It wasn't just your standard, he gets powers, he becomes a superhero. It's, you know, he's got these powers, but he's finding out that it's not really him who's got the powers. And then, yeah, it was good. It was really weird to watch. It was really good. Lorna really enjoyed Moon Knight as well. I found the ending of it, though, the very last episode, it was a little bit sort of convenient. It was a little bit Game of Thrones-esque. Like, it wasn't as bad as, like, the ending for Game of Thrones, but it was just a bit like, it sort of suddenly ended. And it would have been nice to have a little bit of, you know, go out with a bang. It does leave it open for other series as well, but I don't know whether they're going to do series 2 of Moon Knight or whether he's going to be in future films. But yeah, it was good. It's weird to watch. I mean, I must say, of all the Marvel series, I haven't disliked any of them. The only one I disliked really was MODOK, which is like a cartoon, but I don't think it's part of the MCU anyway. So I'm bothered with that.
Yeah.
Recommend all the series, and definitely Doctor Strange. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, what have you got next?
Couple of things that we've almost finished. Still continuing with Altered Carbon, which is, it's heavy going. You've really got to pay attention to it. So I know Lee's covered this in detail in the past. But it's like the, what's that song, Twisting My Melon Man? It's like I said previously, I think the first episode, we got to the end of it, and I said to Claire, I think this is going to be really good, and I'm not really fully understanding it. And we started the whole episode again as soon as it had finished, pretty much, because I thought, you know, I want to be rewarded with this. It's on a pretty high level. You've got to concentrate. You can't just, like what we were talking about before, you can't have it on in the background. You can't have your phone near you. You've got to put things out there and you've got to concentrate. So we're continuing with that. Another thing that we are continuing with is, if you give me a second. Designated Survivor. So we finished the first season. So just as a quick recap, so Designated Survivor is basically if the whole of the American politicians for some reason get killed, the Designated Survivor is the person who's going to end up being the president, because obviously everybody else has gone. So it's
a bit coming like it's a bit like a US version of King Ralph.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that dreadful film from
awful film
2000 or whatever it was. Yeah. Oh, God, it was awful.
John Goodman, yeah. Or was it John Candy?
John Goodman, yeah.
John Goodman, awful film. Yeah. I remember renting that off the video fella, and it was awful, really bad. And I was a kid at the time.
But it's a good version of that. But the thing is, they seem to be that they're coming away from the Designated Survivor storyline. It's like, oh, this seems to be popular. So what they've got now in the second season is it's basically 24 is kind of going on in the background. So you've still got a little bit of investigation going on with the FBI. So that's a bit 24-esque. But then we've got things going on in the politics of what's going on in the White House. So I don't know. I'm sure there's tons of things like that. Like, was it House of Cards? With yeah. Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. There's been loads of things. There's been one about a lady president, woman president. Yeah, can't remember what that one's called. But there's been a lot of wife, wasn't he?
Is that a similar thing?
Could it be that? There's been a lot of White House dramas.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just becoming one of those again. But what's weird is that the one we watched today, that the kind of it's kind of foreshadowing what's happening in the world today. So one of the things is there was a virus. Of course, we've had COVID. Another is the Ukraine-Russia conflict, but they had it the other way around. So Ukraine were the sort of bad guys and the Russians were the innocent ones. What else did they do? But it's very strange that there were other things. But when the COVID thing, when this virus came on, it's like, this is a bit weird, this, because I think it was about 5 years ago that the ones that we're watching were from about 5 years ago, and they're coming up with these things. Oh, the one today as well was about statues and whether they had links to slavery. Or racial links, and that was on it as well. And they were talking about this statue that was up there, and it's like, no, they need to move it because of the links to slavery and links to,
slave trading. Yeah,
I think we had that 2 years ago. Was that during lockdown? Actually,
was it just before? It might have been during. Yeah, I'm not too sure, but yeah, it's quite recent though, isn't it? Yeah.
But again, this is going back 2017, so it's a bit of a funny one. I mean, we'll carry on with it. It's watchable. It's entertaining. But it's what it is doing is it's making me want to look at more political White House dramas, like The Good Wife or whatever it is, like House of Cards, things from back then when, if you're going to make a TV series, it had to be good. Whereas now they just put all sorts of rubbish out there. And if it's good, it's good. But yeah, about 10, 20 years ago, if you made something, it had to be good, didn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I'm looking into things like that. Yeah. Also, it's making me question my geography and politics of America, because I haven't got a clue what a congressperson is, a congressman is. I don't know what the House of Representatives is, so it's making me want to learn more about that, because, you know, why not? I think that's a good thing to expand your knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Designated Survivor, which we're continuing.
I was going to say, Richard, so you mentioned House of Cards there. Have you ever seen the original British version?
Is it the same name?
Yeah, it was a BBC series, yeah. It was about 4 episodes.
Oh.
Now, it was on iPlayer at one point, and I watched, like, the first 2 or 3 episodes, and it was really good. Like, there's a few shocking moments in it.
Right.
But then I didn't watch it, so I missed it.
Okay.
Never heard of it, no?
I mean, I recognise Ian Richardson. He's a famous actor, isn't he? He's a famous English actor. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. So is the American version just an American version of it?
Yeah, it literally is. Yeah, it's based on it. It's been extended because obviously it's like how many series, whatever it is, the American one is. Whereas the British one was, I think it was only four. I'm sure it was only four episodes. Yeah, four episodes. Yeah. And I think I only seen the first two or three. But it was really good, and it was, you know, shocking. And it's sort of, I don't know how the American one does it, but the fellow, it was his name, Ian Richardson. He speaks to the camera. So he's talking. I think he plays the whip. He's like the chief whip of the government or whatever. And he talks to the camera and says, and this is what this person's doing. And this is why I'm saying this to him, because he's shagging his secretary or something like that. But, you know, he's sort of like saying reasons of why he's saying this, and when he's a bully and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, that really might good. Be worth watching as well. Like you say, four episodes. It gets 8.5 rating on IMDb. And again, back in the 90s, it would have had to have been good for it to be on telly.
Yeah. I think it's BBC. I'm sure it's BBC.
It looks it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. And he starts having this, not an affair, but he starts having these conversations with a reporter about the government, and he starts leaking things, and then it gets out of hand, and House of Cards falls, you see, it's hence the name. Wouldn't mind seeing that.
We're after some more things to watch. We're sort of struggling a little bit at the moment, so we're dipping in and out of, we're just trying a couple of lots of different things. So have you got anything that is a stalwart? I can never say that word. Is it a stalwart?
Is that really good?
like things you rely on?
Well, there's always the classics, isn't he? Like The Wire. I know I've only ever seen the first 2.5 series, but it's fantastic what I've seen of it, and I need to finish that as well.
Please talk about that.
Well, I've started watching, I don't know if you've seen it before, Derry Girls. Have you seen Derry Girls yet?
I wouldn't mind watching it. It looks good.
Yeah. So I've watched the whole first. I was off last week. I was off work last week because I wasn't well. So I watched it when I was in bed. And I watched the whole first series, basically in like 2 days. And it was good, but it wasn't laugh out loud hilarious. I was expecting more. I was like, yeah, it's good. I can see why people like it. And it talks about the troubles in Ireland. And, you know, I can see why it's important and it's funny. But it wasn't like Father Ted or, you know, like Red Dwarf. Yeah. It wasn't like things where to watch it and go, the IT crowd, I'm laughing my head off. It wasn't anything like that. And then I started the second series. And the first episode of that second series was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely, like, hilarious. And this is the episode where two schools are brought together. One's Catholic, one's Protestant. I think they're the Catholic school, and they're brought together as sort of like, you know, bridging the gap. And it was brilliant. And it was just like all the attitudes of the kids and, you know, the attitudes to each other and the rumours that they have about, like, Catholics have these about Protestants and Protestants think this about Catholics. And it was hilarious. And you know what? It well deserves the praise it gets, because that first episode, particularly the second series, was brilliant. Yeah. I haven't watched any more since, but yeah, I will finish it off, and I will obviously watch the new series. I believe it's good. Yeah, as I say, the first series, I was like, yeah, it's good. I'm enjoying it. It's not hilarious. But that episode, that second series, oh man, it was just, this is brilliant. It was so funny. The lady who plays the nun, I just find the name. So you can find out who she is. Siobhan McSweeney. She plays Sister Michael. She's brilliant. She's just like this, this disenfranchised nun. Just hates kids. Has no interest in, you know, in helping them at all. Just is just there to be doing a job, just being a teacher, and just wants to have the quiet life. And then, like, you know, so the parents come in and complain about things, and she's just like saying, "Oh, not again," you know, "You're Christ Almighty," and all this sort of thing. And she's a nun. excuse me. Yeah, really good. She's brilliant. I mean, all the four girls are brilliant in it as well. You know, the young girls and the lad who plays the English guy, they're all really good as well. But she's a standout character. All the family, there's all different, you know, actors from older programs that you probably recognize the faces from. Like the dad, I recognize the dad from something, but I don't know what else he's been in.
Isn't he Ser Sejura in Game of Thrones?
Is that the granddad?
I'm not that sure.
That might be the granddad, I'm not too sure. But the actual when dad is from stuff.
I know he's been in it.
His name's Terry Tieran.
Hi everyone, sorry to interrupt, it's Future Carl here. I'm just editing the episode and unfortunately it's after this point in the episode where for some reason I'm getting a lot of feedback on my on my audio, so apologies about that, and if you can put up with it, it is quite a good second half of the episode. So that's the first thing, so apologies about that. I wouldn't blame you if you don't listen to the rest, but it is a bit annoying, but it's only another 20, 30 minutes maybe at a max that you have to put up with it. Second thing is, I do end up talking about The Pentaveret, which starred Mike Myers, and absolutely mauled the name of it. So again, apologies about that. I have watched the whole series now, and I can't really recommend it. It's okay, it's worth a watch, but not brilliant. That's the general gist of it. Richard's got some really good points coming up though, so if you want to listen to his bits, that's great. If you want to fast forward my bits, that's fine as well. Alright, so apologies about that, and we are trying to fix these audio issues. They're so, so annoying. And it's just, there's just no reason why it just feeds back all of a sudden. So apologies about that. Back to the episode. Enjoy.
But yeah, highly recommend Derry Girls. Stick with the first series. It's good, but the second series, it's hooked me. Yeah. Any more from you?
Well, I'll just fly through a couple of things that we have tried, from the ridiculous to the sublime. We tried something called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun, which is, I think it's an Australian thing.
Yeah.
And it was the advert, the trailer for it that I thought, well, I'll try this, and it is just absolutely crazy. So in the trailer. I mean, it gets 7.9 on IMDb, but I'm thinking how it's like Monty Python-esque, Kids in the Hall, which they're coming out with a new one. It's bizarre. Yeah. It describes itself as a sketch series, but in the first one, so the trailer was basically they are interviewing for a new housemate. There's three main characters. And they were interviewing for a housemate. And the housemates are just weird. So it's a quick montage of them talking to the housemate and then the housemate talking back and bizarre situations. So then the next ones, they've got another housemate. And that's the trailer. And I just thought, oh, this looks funny. But they need a new housemate because their old housemate, they kicked out. Now, to give you an idea of how bizarre this show is, their old housemate was the dishwasher, as in literally the white piece of equipment in your kitchen, the dishwasher, and it's talking and it's got these googly eyes on it. And it wasn't animated. It was like the googly eyes were stuck on and it's talking with the door. And it's just like, what the hell? But it might be my type of humor. I don't know if Claire was impressed. So that's Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. And it's pretty much just those three actors a lot of the time just playing different parts. So on the in the trailer, the interview was each of them would be the person being interviewed, but they'd have a wig on or something like that, or they'd have glasses on, so obviously they'd look good. I don't know. I might carry on with that because it is so crazy.
I did see that advertised, that one, because I watched a little bit of it, yeah. And I was like that. I thought, yeah, maybe it might give that a go because it's Australian, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might give it a go now you've said that because you've recommended it.
Well, another weird one is Real Rob. And again, it's the advert, it's the trailer for it. This is the whole point in a trailer, isn't it? It's the trailer that made me watch this. So basically, it follows Rob Schneider, who is... who is he? Adam Sandler's mate, He's in pretty much all of Adam Sandler's films as a small character cameo. Don't know if you, but he's done. What was it? Not American Gigolo, because that was Richard Gere, wasn't it?
No, that was him.
Was it American Gigolo? Deuce Bigelow, male Gigolo. Which I think, again, I love those films. But it's following him and his real life, but it's not really. So it's got him, his wife and his daughter in it. And that's why it's called Real Rob. So it's the scenario of them. They're at their home and how they deal with the everyday life. And their little tiny daughter is really cute. And they're getting a nanny. And the nanny is a bloke. And Rob's all confused by that. And there's a big age difference between himself and his wife. And it's a little bit like the other guys, you know, with Will Ferrell and... in that the wife's just stunning and his wife is just stunning, and it's like, but it's his wife, and yeah, it's his trials and tribulations of being a celebrity in the real world. But obviously it's tongue-in-cheek, it's not a documentary, it's written and scripted. But I think the wife steals it, because the way she puts him down all the time, but you can also see their relationship's really good as well. Again, it's one of those weird things. I don't think Claire's really enjoying it. I quite like it. The one thing I don't like is every now and again, it keeps doing a bit of his stand-up. And for me, his stand-up's awful. So there'll be the actual story of the program, what's going on in the program, you know, that they've got a party for the daughter, and then it'll be the stand up and he'll be talking about what's going on, the preparations for the party. But it's just, I don't find that bit funny. And I think they just need to get rid of that and keep the rest of it, because it's going to be nicer. So that's Real Rob. And what else have we tried?
What was that on?
That's on... I'm going to say Netflix. I think it is Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just trying a couple of things to see what really can grab us.
I watched another one, and you've probably seen it advertised on Netflix, and I can't pronounce the name of it, but the new Michael Myers series, the Pentabate.
I want to watch that as well.
I've watched a couple of episodes of that, and basically it tells a story of like an Illuminati-esque society, secret society, who run things around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Myers plays most characters. So he plays multiple versions of different characters. It's all right. It's got this... What's the guy's name? Hang on, let me just get him up.
I think we've bookmarked this because...
Keegan-Michael Key. So he's in it, and he sort of gets brought into the secret society, because it's called Pentabate or whatever, because there's five of them. And he gets brought in as one of them. The other four are played by Michael Myers. It's just sort of a bit of a strange series. And, you know, it turns out that they did the moon landings, they faked it. And then it tells the story of a reporter, played by Mike Myers, who's trying to find out about the secret society and trying to expose them. I don't know if I'd recommend it, because Mike Myers is Mike Myers. If you like Mike Myers, you'll probably like it, but it's one of them. It's worth a watch. I say, I've only watched a couple episodes. I think I've watched two or three episodes. So we'll need to catch up back on it. Yeah, worth a watch.
Pentaverate.
Yeah, that's the one. I think that's what you say.
That only came on recently, didn't it?
Yeah.
It came on to our listings recently.
Yeah, well, my dad recommended that to me, because he watched them all in one go. He said he loved it. He thought it was brilliant. It was hilarious. I think it's all right. I wouldn't say hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it's very clever the way he plays all these different characters, as always. I think that's me. I don't think anything else to tell you about.
I think the only other thing that we dabbled with was something that Lee, I think it's probably one of Lee's favourite, all-time favourite things, And he's talked about Marco Polo in the past, almost since day one, since we've been doing the podcast. He's, you know, it's stuck in my head. Mm. And yeah, what he says about they just blew the budget. It's huge. It's a little bit like when I said about Altered Carbon. I'm watching this and it's like, this is the scale of this production. It's massive. Marco Polo, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what storyline, anything. Didn't know if it was based on any real things. But yeah, I see what he means. We've only done the first one, so it's a little bit difficult to get into. I think it's gonna keep going and going and going, obviously until it stops, but I mean it's gonna get better and better. And it's annoying watching it, knowing that, not that they cancelled it, but they didn't do a third series.
Yeah.
I think it's third.
Was it the first Netflix series that he made?
Possibly. We need Lee.
Early one, like the early ones, isn't it?
But it's so, the word is lavish, and that's got Benedict Wong in it as Kublai Khan, I think it is.
Oh, right.
And like I say, again, my history is lacking, and I'd like to know, is this based on anything? I don't really know. Based on the famed explorer's adventures, but I mean, is it a legend? It did have a feel of Game of Thrones about it in a way. There's lots of weird things going on, but it's setting up. I think that first episode is setting up the storyline, the characters, and how it's going to play out. So, yeah, looking forward to the second episode of that. It's a little bit Matrixy as well, in that the guy who's training him to fight is blind, but obviously he fights really, really well. Seems to be a little bit of sorcery in it. I don't know how far they're going to take that. It might not be sorcery, but a bit of magic in it as well. But have you seen it at all yourself?
No, not seen anything at all. No.
This is purely on like I say, a recommendation from Lee. I'm trying to think what that's on.
That's Netflix, isn't it?
Is that Netflix? Oh, of course. Yeah, you said before, didn't you?
Is it English language, or is it subtitled, or, you know, dubbed or whatever?
No, it's... Oh, hang on. Let me have a think. It's mainly English language. I think there's a little bit of dubbed. You know, sometimes when they'll talk a part of a sentence in their native tongue and then they'll change to English. And I don't really understand. I'm sure there's a reason for doing that when they do that in films. Not like they start talking in native tongues, so you know, and then the rest of it they're in English, so you know, so you don't need subtitles, but they're just chopping and changing. It was a little bit like that with something else that we've watched, which is on Channel 4, the Caenfield murders, but I'll talk about that more when we've done that. It's based in South Africa, and they keep talking South African, but then they'll go into English. But then mid-sentence, they'll go back into South African. In fact, it's not even South African. It's more of a tribe dialect where I'm being awfully crap here, basically. where you got the clicky tongue noise I don't know what you'd call that. That's not strange. You can't say strange, can you? We'll edit that out. The dialect where
language is it not standard
traditional
language.
You can't say normal language. Carl. It's not traditional, where they've got like the clicks and extra noises within the dialect, and then all of a sudden they'll talk English, but it's a little bit like that. They'll chop and change, but blinking heck, it's huge. It's such a big scale. Definitely I need more recommendations. I think we'll probably go back. The Wire has come up before. And also, I'm having a quick look at my list here as well. We'd never finished The Good Place. We've never finished Community.
Oh, The Good Place.
I never
saw the last series. I need to watch that. I enjoyed The Good Place. We've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well. Have you started watching that again?
I got put off. We used to have somebody called Harry who used to appear with us.
Harry, remember Harry? He was a good guy.
On date nights at the moment. I got put off when it was getting a bit too serious. Obviously, it was so slapstick. It brilliant, loved it. And then I think got into series three. They started having dead serious police incidents where he went undercover, and I didn't like the mixing a serious thing, bringing something dead serious into a comedy, not like in a I was offended type of way, but it just didn't go right with me. So when Jake had to go undercover, do you remember he went undercover for ages?
He went somewhere, didn't he? Was he in prison?
Yes. Something
along those lines. That's right.
But when they try and bring in that seriousness, or if they're bringing down a criminal and all of a sudden it gets quite serious and you think, it's not what I'm watching. If I wanted that, I'd watch Luther, or I'd watch The Bill or something like that. You know,
that was a good series.
I used to love The Bill. I want just pure stupid comedy. And I didn't like the way Captain Holt's character became silly, because from day one he was deadpan, he was serious, and he wasn't silly. I think I remember Harry mentioning like one time where he said, I'm going to fall down the stairs now, and he'd fall down the stairs deliberately, and it's like that's surely not the character. I liked the original, and then it went off a little bit for me. What else have we?
The episode we watched last night was it was a Doug Judy episode. His nemesis slash.
He keeps coming back.
And with it being the last series, it's probably the last time we'll see him.
Yeah.
It was a good episode. So it was silly. With a bit of heart thrown into it, but it was very silly. So you might like it.
I think I might have to get through some of the daft bits. But there were some brilliant episodes on it, like. I think when I love Sergeant Jeffries. What's his name in real life?
I
know what his name is. Alan Rickman. Rickman. Whenever we can't remember anybody, there's a person you chat with. But
Terry Crews. Terry Crews, his name is.
That's it. Coming across a clip of him, and he's got, because he's a big fella, and he's got all of his muscles wired up to instruments. So if he does his right peck, it'll do a drum, and if he does his left peck, it'll do a cymbal. And he just screams at the camera, and then he starts this brilliant bit of music going. Oh, the guy's a lunatic. But do you remember when he was trying to build his daughter's? I think a little playhouse, and he's trying to do it in the toilet. And he was going, what does this mean? I just couldn't get it sorted. I want more things like that. I need more recommendations, but I think there's a couple to keep me going.
Well, if you're after more police drama-y things, The Shield is also very, very good. Vic Mackey plays the corrupt LA detective, and it's about the... what did he call it? It's some sort of police precinct, but it's got like a name.
Yeah.
It was like an experiment. He leads it. But yeah, brilliant. Brilliant series to shoot.
Again, Lee has talked about that, hasn't he? Michael Chiklis in it.
They're on Channel 4 then.
That was big as well. Because I think, as I've mentioned in the past, I'd like to have a comedy, some sort of policey thing. A range of things that we can keep going. That's going back 20 years ago, but that did well. That's got good ratings. There's that, and there's The Wire. What's The Wire about again? Remind the viewers.
The first series is about a community in a ghetto, who there's like drug dealers going on. And it's about a unit who are set up to put a wire into the drug dealers community, basically. And then it's about, you know, the cat and mouse game between drug dealers and the police. Idris Elba's in it. He plays an American drug dealer. You'd never know he's British. That's the first thing I've seen him in. And Dominic West as well plays American.
And he's British as well, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And you wouldn't know otherwise. It's weird when I first heard him speak British, it was like, what, like English? Well, you know, without American accents. Yeah. But it's brilliant. And I know I think it's based on a book. The author, the original author, is from Baltimore. And so he knows what's going on with, like, sort of the drug scene, and, you know, he's researched it well. And it's very slow. It's a very slow burner. You know, it takes a couple of episodes, and then all of a sudden things click, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then, without giving too much away, the second series is the same unit doing a different, on a different job, to apply to put a wire in on this trade union. I think it's like on the dockers. And without giving too much away, it's linked to the first case, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that there's two good things I need to have a go of.
Yeah.
So I've got the wire and the shield, and I'm just having a quick nose to see what the wire is on.
It is.
And the code is to just watch, go on. It's on Amazon, or is it on Amazon Prime?
It'll be HBO.
Yeah, so
yeah. Now TV.
Oh, well, we've got Now TV. We've got Now TV, so we can catch up with it on that. And The Shield was Channel 4, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was a while ago. It was a year ago, it was. So I'm assuming it's still there, but I don't know.
Right. Because, you know what? Oh, More 4. Is it More 4 or All 4? But whatever.
It's All 4. I was calling it 4OD.
It's good. That's right. 4OD. It is very good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
We watch it quite a lot. It's obviously Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You've got Taskmaster. You've got like 24 hours in police custody. Easy for me to say. But then there's loads of like little documentaries as well. It's really good. Channel 4. You advert them. You live with them, don't you?
And I think what's really annoying is if you start something, if you're not exactly sure what episode you're on, you start something and you go, oh, no, we've seen this. After 2 minutes of adverts, you go to the reel, and then you got another 2 minutes of adverts to watch.
Yeah.
But talking about the adverts, I think The Shield's on the Amazon with adverts, which is what I mentioned before. Yeah, I think it's called Freevee, Freevee. I think that it's on that. So it is on Prime Video, but you've got to put up with just a very short advert, which I'm perfectly happy with. I'll give those two a go, definitely.
Do you think because you're using my Prime account, do you think the adverts are shorter because you're a Prime user?
Oh, I don't know.
I wonder if you've just if you don't have an account, if the adverts are longer or more regular or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, I was thinking we were going to get them every 15 minutes and they were going to be like 5 minutes worth. But like I say, in that one and a half hour film, we got about a 30 second advert, if that. And I think it was a single one. But I mean, I've started watching more on, I suppose the last thing from me is that there's another YouTube chap that I've come across who's restoring a Land Rover. So that's taking up my time as well. Thinking about what else have I watched that's now. What's he called? He's a New Zealander, and it's got a very strong accent. And sometimes you think, what's it? Tin? I can't remember his name though. Somebody Croker, not Charlie Croker. He's off the Italian job, of course. Jeffrey Croker. Yes, Jeffrey Croker. So, he's my latest Land Rover restoration. I like him. And he's got a little bit of a daft sense of humour, because when he's about to do something wrong, this angry, it's probably a well-known meme, an angry man starts appearing from the bottom of the screen and the screen starts turning red just before he makes a mess of something. So yeah, I like that. But that's on a maybe we could have another YouTube special to find out where we're up to with YouTube.
It'd be nice if we could get in contact with some of them and then, yes, and then get them to come on the episode and talk about their show.
Project Binky's still going. They've not finished it yet. They said it was going to take Project Binky.
Oh, yeah.
About 3 years, and I think we're on to 8 or something like that now. 8 years. It's become a worldwide phenomenon. They've got this little, this is my last thing. They've got a spirit level, but it's a digital one. And when it's perfectly level, it goes beep, 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 beep. So what they do is they put it on the car to check something's level and they go, make the noise. And then it goes beep, 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 beep. And now people have got T-shirts on with make the noise and the spirit level. But you got people who are doing Porsche restorations down in Australia doing that. You've got another guy in England who's got, and it's like they're all, it's nice because they're all watching each other. They're all supporting each other. So the three main guys have got, they've all got each other's tops on and it sort of like rotates, which is good. But yeah, we'll have to do another YouTube one, see where we're up to.
Yeah, happy days. Well, I think we're done there, aren't we?
Yes, so, yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate all your listens. If you want to get in contact, we're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And our next episode is definitely going to be...
We're going to do Inception. We've got an Inception evening coming up, hopefully.
Yeah. We'll be there. So we
need to watch Inception because that is our next film to watch before you die. Which number is it? Must be about 12 or 13.
12, I think.
Yeah. What a film. Yeah. But yeah, we can talk about that. I'll look forward to watching that.
Yeah.
Good
film. Yeah. Great stuff. All right, we'll finish there. Thanks, Richard. Pleasure as always. And we'll see you all next episode. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.